You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All Things Covered listeners, All Things Covered viewers, we got another outstanding, impactful show for you guys today. You guys know what time it is. If you're fans of the NFL, the NFL draft is right around the corner. And as you know, what we like to do, me and Pat P, we like to highlight some of the up-and-coming prospects, guys that you will enjoy cheering for on Sundays. And this is another draft-like show for you guys. Now, this is a difficult, difficult show for me because as you see over my left shoulder, I got number 8 hanging up in my locker behind me. And y'all know what jersey that is. That's Florida State. So, you know, playing at Florida State, certain universities we really don't rock with. Miami and Florida. But I got to throw my hate aside for this particular episode because, of course, this young gentleman is a guy I've been known for a long, long time because I know his father, know his uncle as well. Me and his father came out of high school the same time, played in the secondary. Great relationship. And of course, he's groomed his son to do the same things that he's been able to do in his professional career when he was playing. But his son went to Florida. Florida native, out of Palm Beach, one of the best corners in the draft, potential first-round selection, elite draft-like prospect, and he is a Gator. Kair Elam is joining us here, All Things Covered. Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. Kai, how you feeling? How you doing?
I'm blessed. I can't complain. You know, I'm just happy to be here. Happy to be able to speak with you guys.
Man, listen, it's an honor. Number one, we're biased because we're secondary guys. You know how playing in the secondary is, man. It's a bond. It's a brotherhood. And hats off for everything that you've been able to accomplish so far in your career and for your future endeavor. So let's go ahead and let's go back in time. Let's take it to the beginning, right? So right now, you consider one of the best athletes in the draft, one of the best corners in the draft. But we heard that wasn't always the case for you, especially in middle school and early high school days, your early high school days. But what did it take for you to get to this point to be considered one of the best athletes in the world at what you do?
I'm the best. But
okay, put a stamp on it then. My bad. Yeah, put a stamp on it.
I'm the best corner, but honestly, you know, middle school and elementary school, you know, I was, you know, chubby kid. You know, I lived with my mom, grew up with my mom, and basketball was my first love growing up, you know. Played chapel basketball, played rec basketball. But I wouldn't say I was a great athlete until, you know, my dad, in order for me to play football, I didn't play until eighth grade. I had to run track. Mm-hmm. And so I think that really benefited me a lot because, you know, it helped my explosiveness, build stamina, mature my body a little bit. So I credit that to my dad, his wisdom, I would say, and just me putting in the work as well, too.
And talking about your dad, I mentioned earlier in your intro, your dad played in the National Football League, played in the secondary. Your uncle, Matt Elam, played in the secondary. Matt was a first-round draft pick. He was 32nd overall in the first round. But what would it mean for you to follow their footsteps and be potentially the highest drafted player in the family?
I always knew, you know, it'll happen, you know what I'm saying? But I got to go out and work and achieve it as well. But it's in the GM's and everybody else's hands, but not mine. But, you know, I know it'll happen. But honestly, I don't compare myself, you know, to my dad or my uncle. I'm striving for my own personal goals and things I have set for myself. But, you know, honestly, I really, there's no pressure. You know what I'm saying? I just want to go out there and just prove to myself, you know, that I'm the best. And every time I step on that field, I want to just prove that. So,
well, Kai, let's keep it real. I understand you being humble right now, but when you play in the secondary, you got to have a little swag. You got to be confident, right? And I come from a football family as well. We had 3 DBs play the National Football League. So I'm going to ask you this question right now. I'm going to put you on the spot. Out of you, your uncle, and your dad, who's the best DB in the family?
Myself, without a doubt. No, hands down.
Okay, I'm gonna make sure I tell your dad that. But okay, I like it. I like the confidence. And
I learned that. You know, I got to learn from their mistakes. So if I wasn't, you know, I feel like that'll be a sin on me. Yeah. Just because I just took everything that, you know, had they weren't good at, what they passed down to me, the wisdom, the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I also feel like I'm the best athlete in the family as well, too. Just because, not because not because me being cocky or arrogant, nothing like that. I just, you know, the work I put in and the knowledge they gave me, so I didn't make the mistakes they did. So honestly, I just credit that to them making me who I am as well.
I like it. And let's keep it real. Like you said, being able to follow their footsteps, they had the blueprint for you. You know what I mean? So your journey was a little more smoother than theirs, because when you're the first to do it, you go through a lot of obstacles that might not be in your favor. But then also, too, you're able to hand down the knowledge for the next ones who's coming up behind you. Similar to what I did with Pat P, and your father and your uncle's done a tremendous job in getting you to this point right now. Your dad went to Cardinal Newman. Your uncle went to Dwyer. You ended up going to Benjamin, which isn't known as a football powerhouse. But how did you end up there?
So, you know, my mom, like elementary and middle school, my mom used to drive 35 minutes to send me to the best schools. Mm-hmm. Cause she didn't want me going to the inner city schools with my inner city friends and stuff like that. So my parents always try to give me the best education and get me away from my environment that I grew up in. So Benjamin was, you know, the best school in the area and best private school in the area. I think Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, their kids, they go to elementary school, but I think their kids will go there as well. And mm-hmm. It's very expensive too. So I was able to get a scholarship to go there. But, you know,
So go ahead, my bad.
No, I credit them for putting me there, you know what I'm saying? But that's how I ended up going there because, you know, I got a scholarship there. But
okay. And your high school coach said you're the best player to ever come through the program. Were you aware of that?
I wouldn't be surprised, but you know, we have a few other players as well that's really good. Like quarterback at Florida State is really good.
Jordan Travis,
yeah. So we have Nickel at NC State, Josh Pierre Lewis, multiple other players as well. But you know, I consider myself the best. Most definitely.
Okay, so because of the success you had at Benjamin there in Palm Beach, you had the who's of who coming at you, knocking down your door, trying to land your services to attend their university. You had the rivals, the state rivals, all in Florida, Miami, Florida State, Florida. But you ultimately decided to choose Florida. First, why did you pick the Gators? And second, who is your most hated in-state rival and why?
All of them. Nah, but honestly, I would say the reason I really picked Florida was because, you know, I just want to go somewhere where I could truly sit down and say, you know, this school is where I can compete to start as a freshman. And mm-hmm. also I want to go somewhere I was wanted as well. Not wanted and prioritized, I would say. So I think Coach Mullen really prioritized me. Yeah. And I had two veteran guys who I can go out and learn from who was almost out the door. They were juniors too. I had CJ Henderson, who was number 9 overall pick, and I had Marco Wilson, who started all year for the Cardinals. So, you know, I was coming into a situation where, you know, not even next man up, I was competing to start. So it was just like, and I could learn from those guys, pick those guys' brain and try to help, you know, involve my game as well. So I just think it was the best situation for myself, honestly. And then it just had the most pros and the least cons. You know, I sat down and made a business decision with my family, put it on the Excel spreadsheet, the pros and cons of going to Florida, mm-hmm. Georgia, and Miami and Colorado. So, you know, Florida had the most pros and the least cons, and that's really why I chose Florida.
Yeah, and playing in the SEC, especially playing in the secondary, man, you see top tier talent week in and week out. But your big-time exposure of, like, it's some real go-getters out there was 2019 against LSU. Played against mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. What type of learning experience was that for you going against that type of talent at the wide receiver position?
You know, it was great to see because, you know, I knew those guys were going to be high, you know, high draft picks, would be successful in the NFL just because of what they were mm-hmm. doing to everybody else. So it was just great to see where I just needed to, you know, it was really motivation, honestly, because I was just a freshman. I was playing to the field, so I didn't get too much action. But to be able to go back and watch film and see, you know, myself out there, it was just like, you know, this is where I need to step my game up. This is where the level of competition where I want to be. This is where I need to play at. So, you know, I think that's really good learning lesson for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's fast forward to this past season. Big time SEC matchup, 3:30 slate. I think I was on the call of that game as well for CBS. Alabama and Florida. John Mechie, Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
Kyir Elam. 5-8. And 1. And I can tell you this much, young fella, you did your thing. You did your thing. You held your own, played high-level football. What was the game plan for you going into that ball game? Number one, you're playing against one of the best teams in America. Number two, you're playing against two prolific NFL caliber wide receivers. And you knew you were going to have one-on-one opportunities. What was your mindset going into that ball game, and what did you want to establish in that ball game?
No, I just wanted to establish that I was the best on the field, honestly. You know, going into that game, I had that game circled because we had just lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game. So yep. I had that game circled, and I just wanted to go out there and just really dominate those guys, honestly. You know, I thought Jameson was a hell of a player, and I thought Matthew was also a hell of a player as well. But, you know, I feel like I was the best. So when I stepped on that field, I just wanted to prove that. You know, I just really wanted to prove that just that I was the best in the country. That was my goal going into that game.
And you did. And you did. Now, if you go back in time, if you guys don't remember that ball game, Kyrie got injured in that ball game. But before the injury, you was playing some high-level football. And are you aware that Jameson has stated that you were the best corner he's faced?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Oh, that boy said he's not surprised. That's right. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. But
he said it.
Don't get me wrong. Now, Jameson is the best to ever probably come through the SEC, honestly. You got Devontae Smith. But behind him, I think Jameson be right there neck and neck because when you look at not even offensively, when you look at special teams as well,
yeah, he's a football player. Better.
Yeah, football Gunner, player. A lot of receivers going down and Gunner hitting people like that. So
exactly.
You know, I love his game as well. And then Metchie is good too. He's tough as well. But, you know, I had to help my own that game. You know, I got injured, you know. But this game not about excuses, honestly. So, you know what I'm saying? I got to put my best tape on the film every time I'm on the field. But I ended up spraining 3 ligaments in my knee. I continued to play, but
an ugly, you know, ugly injury. It was an ugly injury. And not number one, I don't know how you were able to return in that ball game, but let's talk about the injury factor. You know, what happened in that ball game. And I know firsthand playing the cornerback position, if you're not 100% healthy, especially if you're dealing with an injury to your lower extremities, you're not going to be the player that you can be when you're 100%. How did that injury affect you, especially whenever you got back into the lineup? Were you the same Kyrie before the injury, or did you feel some limitations based on the injury?
Yeah, I couldn't really stop on the dime how I wanted to when I came back. But like I said, this game about excuses, like I feel like every time, like my dad, heart gets on me all the time when I was like trying to kill rehab and come back early sooner than I did because I had a 6-7 week injury, but I came back in 3. But honestly, you know what I'm saying? I really couldn't stop on the dime how I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, it's just honestly in my head, I had to block that out. Honestly, just, you know what I'm saying? Put some icy hot on it. Cause my whole goal was really, I want to prove like I was the best in the country, but my first goal was for us to go back to the SEC championship and win it. And so shit, that's really why, you know, I would say that's really why I played because it was more than just me. At the end of the day, it was about our team success and I felt like give us the best chance for us to win. You know, I had to play at a high level as well. So I just had to block all that stuff out, though.
So we got Pat P in the fold with us right now. We got 3 corners. I guess I'll be the inside corner because both of y'all big body guys. So I guess I'll be the inside. I'll play the slot corner right now. We got Kyrie on one side. We got Pat on the other. Who going to be left? Who going to be right? You know, that left corner get all the action.
I play wherever, coach.
Man, put the young fella on the left side, man. He got young legs,
nah,
man.
Nah, I want the best receiver. I want the best receiver.
Oh, he want the X.
There you go.
I want the X.
He want the smoke. Hey, Pat P. So we were just tapping in with Kyrie talking about his outstanding game against Alabama, and then he ended up getting injured, but battle tested. I know one thing, you're not going to question the young kid's toughness because he was able to play through a tough injury. But talk about Pat P., your experience playing in the secondary, playing against some of the best athletes in the world, but playing in a ball game where you know you're not 100% healthy. How do you know when to go or know when to, you know what, I might need to take one more break, you know what I mean? Take more time just to be able to get back in, do what I need to do, and being closer to 100% health.
Man, my wife will tell you, man, they got to literally pull me off the football field. Now, I got to come off the field on a wheelchair or something. I can't be able to go, you know, if I have to be, you know, if I'm not 50%, you know, I'm probably not going to go, you know, but it's mind over matter at that point, you know what I mean? But the biggest thing for me is, I like to practice when I'm injured. You know, most guys, you know, they listen to the training. They're like, oh, I want to take an extra day off. I want to go out there and see what my limitations are on the practice field. I don't want it to be my first time going out on the gridiron, making it be my first time, you know, going 100%. But for the most part, it's mind over matter, man. You just have to understand and know your body, put yourself in a game type situation before you get into a game. And hell, if you can fight through it, fight through it. If not, You know what I mean? Don't do it. You know your body better than, I mean, we know our bodies better than anybody. So only thing I can, only best advice I can give you is just listen to your temple.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Pat, that was real, that hit something there you said, because Kyrie, you're aware of this, you know, now I'm playing the game as much as you've been playing the game, but most times when you're dealing with the injury, they sit you down. But Pat P, you said you want to practice when you hurt, because now you know where the limitations are and what you can do and what you can't do. And that could be a great insight as well to know, man, I can't go on game day. I ain't gonna be ready.
Right.
Because I can't plant off my left foot. Man, I ain't got that burst that I need to have. So that's a unique way of looking at an injury and moving forward. So that's nice insight.
So for this, like past season, I had like a mild turf toe. You know, when you have a turf toe, they don't want you to practice at all.
Mm-hmm.
So with me, I didn't practice, but I practiced. You know, you got blitz period, 7-on, you know, every category go on throughout the day. But I probably get, you know, I'll see the strip, obviously, and see what play is a deep route or what play I can break on and maybe get in for that play, come out for the next four, and just work a rotation that way, kind of building it up, seeing where, you know, like I said, what my limitations are going forward throughout the week. That's what gives me a better peace of mind going into the game.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's good insight. So, you know, looking at your career at Florida, the Dan Mullen era, Kyrie, got off to a hot start in Gainesville, but ended pretty abruptly. What went wrong during the Dan Mullen era, and what do you think the future of the program looks like?
Honestly, you know, it's just a part of the profession, honestly. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna be up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, for me, it was just like, I gotta make sure everybody know we going out there and we getting evaluated. Like, and at the end of the day, my goal is we're trying to win as well. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to play at a high level no matter what's going on. Like, we been playing with no coaches. Like, I'm joking. If they roll the ball out there, I'm trying to win. So, basically, that was the biggest thing. I was trying to just be a leader and trying to motivate my teammates. But, you know, it's a part of the profession. You're not always going to be up. You know, I mean, shoot, you're going to be down sometimes. So, at the end of the day, I was trying to make sure we knew we couldn't focus on that. You know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, but – I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, that's just what it was. That's how the dice rolled. But, you know, I just had to do my part as well. I had to fight back from I had to rehab and things like that to get back all the way healthy as well, because, you know, I was banged up. But I just had to do my part. But that's how it was, honestly. I don't know what went wrong. I can't point the finger and say, but I just had to look in the mirror and say, Kaya, what can I do better?
Hey, Kyrie, I got a quick question for you. I just saw that you gave her a memorable speech, such as I did when I was in high school picking my college, saying that you was going to spend 3 years. You already had your mind set on spending 3 years at the University of Florida. What gave you, I guess, that motivation and knowing that, you know, that was your end goal?
What gave you that motivation? Yeah. Honestly, I would credit that to my work ethic, honestly. Mm. I knew once I came into college, I knew nobody was going to outwork me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would just say, I feel like my confidence came from my work ethic as well. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like that was God's plan for me, you know? And I just worked like I was trying to leave in 3 years. So, and that's what ended up happening. And I think I made the right decision, but we're going to see.
Yeah, keep speaking everything into existence as well, so it can manifest. You know what I mean? So you got a team in your mind that you want to go to. Go ahead and throw it out there to the world. Let it circulate.
I wouldn't say I have a favorite team I want to go to. You know what I'm saying? But you know, whatever team shoot, pick me, take a chance. I mean, it's not even a chance; it's an investment, honestly. Because I'm gonna make that better than what they thought it would be. So, but you know, my goal of going to the team is I want to have an immediate impact. Mm-hmm. So if that's in purple, if that's in purple lined up with Pat Pete, if that's anywhere else, you know what I'm saying? That's have an immediate impact. So, you know, I feel like I'm the best corner in the class, but I just want to have the biggest impact in the whole draft class. So that's all defensive players, and that's everybody in the draft class as well. So, you know, I'm going to do that. Like, I'm really confident in that. And, you know what I'm saying? And no matter who picked me, I'm going to have the same mindset. So
I like it. And talking about competing and believing in your ability, you surprise a lot of naysayers with your 40 time running sub 4.4 at the combine.
4.3.
I'm sorry. I can't shortchange you. That's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
But like I said, you surprised a lot of people. A lot of scouts, coaches thought you might be in the high 4.4s or 4.5s. You went out there and ran 4.3. You know what I mean? Yeah. What did that validate or confirm for you?
Oh, myself, I knew I was going to run 4.3. You didn't have to tell me that. But I think it surprised a lot of people because, you know, I'm playing corner. I think my press technique and things, I'm always over the top and I'm always in control position. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have to show off my elite speed. And I feel like if you running your top speed in a game, that means you chasing cheeks. Like, you getting beat.
Question.
So, honestly, I feel like that's another. What's up?
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah. If you run as fast as you can, you chase. You trying to go catch up. Hey, that ain't no good feeling either.
No doubt about it.
But you striking as fast as you can, that mean I'm panicking. Man, this man, I got two steps on me. I got to catch and get in that hip pocket. But hey, keep going. But well said, though. Go ahead, keep going. A lot of people don't understand the life of playing the cornerback.
Yeah, I knew that already. I just needed to get healthy, honestly. That was my biggest thing, just get back healthy from the season, you know what I'm saying, and get my knee back healthy. But I knew I was going to run 4.3. But I think really what it solidified was I had elite speed. But,
yep.
I mean, honestly, when you look back at it, like, I had production too, you know what I'm saying? I went against the best every week. But I don't think that just solidified me being one of the top corners, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I believe I'm the best, but, you know, I think that solidified that I had elite speed, though.
And why do you believe you're the best corner in the draft?
I believe that because, you know what I'm saying, I just feel like when it goes from production, consistency, and you want to say, intangibles, you know what I'm saying? When you look back at person, when you look back at work ethic, when you look at doing more with less, I feel like nobody's done, who can be in my shoes, can do the same thing I did, you know what I'm saying? Ball skills, length, speed. I think that don't make you a great corner. I think that's technique. I think that's going against the best every week in and week out. And like, when you look back in the SEC, who lead the SEC in like completion percentage and passer rating, like me, I had the best in the last 3 years. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I can take away the ball at elite level. You know what I'm saying? I have the length, the speed, and everything else, technique, and people in my corner who could push me to be the best, because I'm not satisfied where I am. You know, I want a Super Bowl ring and a gold jacket, but you know what I'm saying? And I don't think I'll be satisfied until I get that. But, you know, I really believe that I'm the best, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to prove to everybody, you know, my cons of whatever they say I can't do, you know, I'm going to do it. So, but it's not proving it to everybody else. It's proving it to myself.
Hey, Pat P.
Yo.
Now, me and you, we've done 1,000 different shows this offseason.
Yep.
Regarding the Minnesota Vikings in the first round selection, right?
Yep.
I for one say they got to go get a corner.
Somebody on defensive corner or D-tack.
Somebody that can go hunt number 12.
Right.
I mean, 100%. hearing Kyrie talk, I know you watched this game, watched this film. How would you feel if the Vikings take Kyrie 12?
Man, I would love it. You know, like you said, you know, we need some help. You know, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I don't know where they're going to go with the pick, but you know, I think Kyrie can be a great addition to the secondary. Like you said, got a nice size, great speed, ball skills.
And he from Florida.
From the crib. And he from the crib. And you know, you have all those great intangibles that, you know, make up a great defensive back. So it would mean the world, you know, to me to have another guy, you know, from the state of Florida sharing the backfield with me and Cam and Harrison and all the rest of the guys. So, hey, speaking into an existence.
No question. And I can tell you this much, Pat P, y'all get Kyrie at 12, that rookie dinner going to be real nice, too, for the DB.
I don't think I ever had a first round in the DB room. So
yeah, that rookie dinner going to be real nice at 12. Hey, Viking fans, y'all tuning into our show. Y'all watch us religiously. We know you got to improve the secondary. How y'all feel? Kyrie Elam, check his tape out. Played at SEC. You heard his numbers. The man is confident. The man is a worker. You put him with Pat P. You got Cam Dantzler, the needle. Pat P going to be the wise one, teaching and encouraging. And now you're building for the future. So let us know how you feel, because I do believe forget what you're talking about. Go get somebody at 12 that can go hunt number 12. And that's Aaron Rodgers. Because if you don't stop Aaron Rodgers, if you don't stop them pass catches and everybody in that north, you're always going to be looking outside when it comes to playoff time. Go find somebody that can go hunt number 12. What Mike T said, sure. Go get guys that look like what they hunt. Kyle, he looked like what he hunt. Go get him. Go get him. So I love
growing up. Growing up, Pat Pete and Revis were guys who I watched every single day. Probably every single day. I get home from school, I those are guys who I watched every single day. And I would love to learn from them, you know what I'm saying? But
I was just about to ask you that question, Kyle, with you going to Florida with a lot of great, you know, Florida cornerbacks coming out of Florida with Joe Hayden, Janoris Jenkins, the list goes on. Is there anybody that you compared yourself to going into Florida? And well, you just answered my second part of the question. Was there any NFL players that you was mostly influenced by?
No, I mean, I watch everybody, man. I just feel like I can learn so much from everybody's, you know, anybody successful, you know, I feel like I learned so much from them to add to my game as well, not to compare myself with contrast and nothing like that. But like you and Revis were my, you know, who guys who I watch all the time. Like I'm saying, just great at the position. You know what I'm saying? You have position flexibility. You travel, you know what I'm saying? You have great ball skills, play return. I love that. You know what I'm saying? I love Revis. Sure. He was just a dog, you know what I'm saying? And guys who I just modeled after. But I'm gonna watch all the Gator corners as well. I mean, I love Joe's game. I love Janoris' game as well. Quincy, T's, all those guys. Marco, CJ.
Yeah.
I can tell you this much. Just watching you during the season, your entire time at Florida, and then watching some of your draft tape, the corner that comes to mind when I watch you is Chris McCallister. From Baltimore.
Mm, throwback.
Chris McCallister was hell. I don't know if you paid attention, but when you get chance, Kyrie, go watch some of Chris McCallister. Big body, fast.
Lay that boom corner on you, fast.
At the line of scrimmage, didn't want no problems. Mm. From Arizona, got drafted in the first round by the Baltimore Ravens. Your dad know who I'm talking about. That's the first name I said when I was talking to your dad about you. Throughout the season, I said, man, that man, if he had 21, he looked just like Chris McCallister, because that's what Chris McCallister was about. At Baltimore.
So I gotta go watch film.
Go watch film and let me know what you think. But that's a guy who's a big body guy, but fast. And at the line of scrimmage, which is one of your strengths, he's so disruptive and patient. You know what I mean? Yeah. So your game is similar to his game, along with the measurables as well. We talked about the Minnesota Vikings, and I just hyped up the Vikings potentially taking you at 12 because they need to go cornerback, in my opinion. But I've heard you've been on quite a few visits. So far throughout this draft process, tell us about some of the visits you've been on and some of the impressions you received from those visits. Who have you visited so far?
I've been to a few teams. You know, I mean, I love them. I just got to get to learn as much as I can, and also express who I am and show my football IQ as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've been to a few teams. I don't want to share right now. I'll wait to drive there to share, but you know.
Okay, so when you say a few, okay, let's do this. Since you want to share the teams.
Yeah.
How many teams have you visited?
How many teams have I visited? Like, I would say like four or five.
Four or five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good number.
That's a number. A good number. Good. No question. Four or five.
Hey, I got to ask you this real quick. I know you probably answered this already, but were there any pre-draft questions that threw you off? Because we all know they can ask some weird questions. Was there any one of that threw you off?
Pre-draft questions?
Yeah.
Athletes,
they pulled you in the little hotel room and got like 10 coaches in there. You know, they start rambling, talking about ball. Then you got this one guy that's going to ask you this one.
Off the wall
question. Did you have any of those?
Nah. See, man, I don't know. I feel like other people might have got that. I mean, at Florida, I think I was pretty clean, so I don't think they really asked me the off-the-wall question that. I can't really say I did get one like that. I don't think so.
Yeah.
The one that always sticks out to me is just, like, what's the difference between a pencil and a lead? I mean, yeah, a lead pencil. I think it was a lead.
And a pen.
Yeah, it was something like that. But, yeah.
Hey, Kyrie, going back to that team, you know, some of the teams you visited,
became public information, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Commanders was one of the teams you visited as well. Yeah. So how was that visit for you going to the Commanders?
Did you saw that with her, Matt?
Yeah. That's public information. I know you didn't want to go ahead and reveal the teams, but guess what? They revealed it for you. So, Kaya, tell us about that visit. What was your impressions visiting the Commanders?
It was great. You know, I got to pick the DB coach's brain, the DC's brain, and I just found out what they think I could get better at. So, you know what I'm saying? I really applied that to how I work, you know what I'm saying? Fuel to the fire, and also just things I could critique myself on and get better at, honestly. That's really why I enjoy these visits so much, and also get to explain, like, myself and show off my football IQ. But yeah, it was awesome, though. It was awesome.
What are some areas you believe you can get better at?
I improve my tackling technique. You know what I'm saying? I just really like just getting a guy on the ground in open space. I feel like there's no such thing as a perfect tackle in open space. You got to get a guy on the ground. Mm-hmm. But I was always trying to whack tackle, take somebody's knee out. Like, it was just like I was always getting taught that. So I was just like always trying to make the hard hit. But at the end of the day, like, in open field, you got to get a guy on the ground. But, you know, I'm confident. I was more conscious of it when I came back from my injury, so I think I could clean that up. But that's always something you can always clean up, honestly.
Yeah.
Then you know, I got like a few holding calls this year. Some of them, I ain't gonna lie, more than half of them was BS. I ain't believe them, but you know what I'm saying, I still got called. But honestly, just get my hands down down the field. Honestly, I think I can clean that up. And just being a better leader, I feel like there's no such thing as I would say just motivating. There's no like limit to motivating your teammates, honestly. So just being a better leader as well. I try to be more of a vocal leader this year than any other year, especially when I was injured, just trying to help out my teammates as much as possible to help us win.
Hey, Pat P, you're a student in the game. You have so many different techniques and things you practice on. Man, is there anything you would, tell Kaiir when it comes to becoming a profound cornerback? You know, some of your regimens, workout regimens and things like that can improve his game.
Well, it sounds like, you know, Kaiir has a great head on his shoulders, you know, always working on his game, always trying to find ways, you know, to better his game, add new things from other people's games, as far as if it's at the line of scrimmage, you know, trying to find a way to stay more patient. You alluded to talking about that you watched Darrell Revis when he was back in his heyday when he was playing. And I used to watch Darrell all the time. And one of the things I used to always take away from is how he used to stay so patient at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
And all I did was, when I did used to watch him, I used to watch his tape in slow motion. And I talk about this all the time, Matt, watching tape in slow motion, being able to understand what the receiver is really doing at the line of scrimmage. Because at the end of the day, all this stuff at the line of scrimmage, he's not doing anything but coming straight through the line. His hands and his shoulders giving us the illusion that he's going left and right. So if you watch the film in slow motion, I think that'll slow your game down a lot, as far as at the line of scrimmage, being able to take away angles, being able to stay hold in there just a little bit longer versus creating that false step. Because we all know that a lot of coaches like teaching that technique. But for me, if I'm at the line of scrimmage, I'm up there for a reason. I'm up there to get my hands on the receiver, you know, for a reason. So those are just some of the things that I like to do to help my game is watch the film in slow motion. I always talk about the hat drill when I'm
tell them about the hat drill.
Put a visor on and just get a receiver. We always talk about coaches always talk about keep your eyes down. All right, what are we doing to help keep our eyes down? Because it's so hard when you're looking at a receiver. You can see the whole picture, but how can we train our eyes to stay down? So what I do is I put the visor on, do all my normal stuff, my DB stands, my DB press technique, go through all my routine. And as I'm going through my routine, if a receiver's with me, I can tell if my eyes are coming up or down because the visor is over my eyes. So I can't look anywhere else, but focus on the point. Yeah, the midpoint, or focus on whatever I'm trying to focus on.
That makes sense.
That's just something that helps train my eyes, and that's just something that helped me in my career in the long run. That's why guys, even to this day, guys are like, man, how the hell you stay so square? How are you so patient? Because I trained my eyes so long over the years to where it's like second nature. I watch film so long over the years, it's like they're moving slow now. It's like I'm making the move before they make the move. You know what I mean? So those are just some things that I think, you know, that you can, you know, add to your regimen to help propel your game.
Gotcha. Most definitely. Appreciate that.
Talking about preparing your game, I know it depends on who actually drafts you, right? But are you planning on rocking number five if you get a chance to?
Oh, most definitely. That's most definitely. No question. No question.
Hey, and another big thing, I see you got a your 21st birthday is about a week after the draft.
Man, you still 20?
Yeah, he's still 20.
My birthday is May 5th.
Yeah, so yeah, he's about right.
Cinco de Mayo.
That's really why I rock five though.
Oh, because your birthday awesome. May 5th.
Yeah.
That's dope.
What's your plan? What's your plans for draft night? And what you like? You plan on celebrating with your family?
Yeah. What you got planned?
Yeah. So I'm gonna have a draft party. Just family.
Okay.
Just family. I feel like that those people just sacrificed so much for me to put me in the position that I'm in right now. You know what I'm saying? And you can't. And I mean, you gotta enjoy it while you can, because it only happened once in a lifetime too.
Right.
But yeah. But after that night, though, it's over with. I'm locked in because you go right into OTA that next week. So I'm take care of that body and just, you know, make sure I'm in tip-top condition.
Hey, Kai, you know your old man, your old boy going to cry when you get drafted. You know that, right? Because he cried when you announced what school you were going to. I still remember that. That man had more, he should have more Kleenexes, man, available. Man. That man was shedding tears, man, like a water hose. You know he going to cry draft night, right? You know that, right?
No doubt about it.
We'll see.
Make sure you have some tissue. Make sure you have a tissue box near him, because he's going to need it. They go, hey, Pat P, is number five available for Minnesota? Who got five? Anybody got five?
Ty Smith has number five right now. He's a corner as well.
Okay, so five already taken. Well,
hey, man.
He can be bought.
I'm trying to tell you.
Viking fans, what's up? Y'all know y'all need a cornerback. What's up? Let us know how you feel about Kai here at 12. Big body corner, ran 4.3, played at high level, played against some of the who's of who in college football, the wide receiver, and put the clamps on him, put the handcuffs on him. All I know is go get somebody that can hunt 12. That's what you got to do. Hey, Kai, yeah, but man, number one, thank you for joining us, man. A sound, candid conversation, man.
No doubt.
Going in the right direction. Whoever drafts Kai Elam, they get in a big-time player. Playmaker who plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he's been doing it the right way his entire life, and he will continue to do it the right way, man. So best of luck to you. In a few weeks, we will hear your name called on day one. It's about how high it will be, but that's what we're going to throw out there, and hopefully it could be. I got seven right there. That's that purple and gold. You look good in that purple. Pat P and that rookie dinner, Pat P. That rookie dinner.
I'm looking forward to that one if that happens. I can't wait.
No it's gonna be a limit. Y'all ain't gonna
text me. No. It's just the rookie dudes. That's all. They ain't gonna hit you for about 20 bands. They might hit you for about 10 or 12.
We don't have to talk about that. It's gonna be a little limit. I ain't playing all that.
I went second round. It hit me for 10.
Yeah.
There was 8,800 to be exact, and then I had to fly him to New York.
Yeah, I could do that. I ain't nothing.
No. But we're telling you trying to go 12. You right outside the top 10.
Nah, man. I'm gonna pay my due diligence for sure, but I can't.
That check a little different.
I'm gonna have a financial value. I can't do that.
Yeah, Pat P gonna want a Louis the 13th bottle. He a vet.
He gonna have to pay that for himself.
I don't do the rookies like that.
You don't do the rookies like that. I had to go get three bottles for all the vets. The oldest members in the secondary, the three oldest guys, they wanted their own bottle. They looked out for me because it could have been worse. They hit Willie Colon for almost 37,000. Offensive lineman, he went third round. We would have had a problem. We had to fight. That happened. He hit me for 30. Yeah, that's not happening. I went third round? We're not doing that. Somebody else got to get up at
you. I understand it's important to be a locker room guy. You know what I'm saying? You got to do your defense because everybody
thing, too, you got to understand, when you go into good situations, they're going to make sure it's fair. Ain't nobody going to try you like no duck or nothing like that. That was my experiences. You know what I mean? When you go into a good situation, you can instantly see the atmosphere is legit. And if you go to Minnesota, you got South Florida guy already right there. So you already know what time it is.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. We ain't on but that I,
me and A probably can come up there for that for the rookie dinner though. Where I pay for my own food, we can come up there and hang with you.
We're gonna have to talk about that.
Hey, we're gonna get Abe up there too as well, man. We come up there for rookie dinner. But hey, Kaya, man, best of luck to you. The draft is actually a week away. Nothing but success for you moving forward, man, and stay healthy and keep it going.
Yes, sir.
Man, I appreciate y'all so much.
Man, yes, anytime, man. Do your thing, man. And go Tigers.
I forgot that.
I had to throw that in there, kid.
Hey, Kai, you ever beat LSU?
I ain't gonna lie. Never beat LSU. My 3 years there, I've never beat LSU. Cause 2019, that was when they went undefeated. Yeah. My sophomore year, lost y'all the fog.
Y'all could have won that game. My man threw the shoe.
That's not his fault, man.
That was a big penalty. That was a big.
I mean, that was a big mistake. You know what I'm saying? He learned.
Who was that? Was that Marco?
Yeah.
He learned his lesson though. That wasn't the reason we lost though. That ain't one of the reason we lost.
It was a big mistake. It was just a big turning point though. But I tell you what, that thing was hilarious though.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Boy threw the shoe 20 yards.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. I don't think he ever be able to let that one down.
No, not against LSU. Oh, he can't throw the shoe.
Nah, but I never beat LSU in my 3 years though. But it still go Gators though for sure.
I already know, man. you take care, man. Wish you nothing but the best. And I can't wait to see your name called.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all, man.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.